Well, shall we open to a rather obscure prophet? His name is Zephaniah. Now, he's a fourth book back from the end of the Old Testament. Zephaniah. Not well known, but a lot of good things come out from his writing. Zephaniah. Let's look in chapter 2. I'll give a resume quickly of chapter 1, but it's chapter 2 that I particularly want. So in chapter 2 of Zephaniah, let's read the first 10 verses. Verses 1 to 10 of chapter 2. I'll read them. Gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, O undesirable nation. Before the decree is issued, before the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld the justice, his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon desolate. They shall drive out Ashdod at noonday, and Ekron shall be uprooted. Woe to the inhabitants of the sea coast, the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, land of the Philistines. I will destroy you, so there shall be no inhabitants. The seacoast shall be pastures, with shelters for the shepherds and folds for flocks. The coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed their flocks there. In the houses of Ashkelon, they shall be lie down at evening, for the Lord their God will intervene for them and return their captives. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the people of Ammon, with which they have reproached my people and made arrogant threats against their borders. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord of hosts, says the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be like Sodom, and the people of Ammon like Gomorrah, overrun with weeds and salt pits, and perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall plunder them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. We'll stop there. Back in chapter 1, just for a moment, we see the name of Zephaniah in verse 1. Now, he was born round about 636 BC, thereabouts, when his ministry was there. And the book was written about 627 BC. So that's about the same time as Daniel, actually. And he lived during the part of Josiah the king's reign. You can see that in verse 1. And his name means, as many other names of the Bible, really means something. His name means hidden or protected by Jehovah. Hidden or protected by Jehovah. But you can see that as we read in our scriptures, that is exactly what his name means. He will be hidden by the Lord against all the things that come against. Now, he was in fact living also, of course, at the time of a good king, Josiah. But before him, there was King Manasseh. Now, Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, he was a nasty man. If you go back to 2 Kings 21:6 at some time, you will see there that he threw his own children into the fire through the mouth of the so-called god Moloch and sacrificed his child to the fire. In fact, what they did was when they sacrificed their children, they used drummers to drown the screams of the children as they were being sacrificed. Terrible scene. My comment is, are we any different today? Well, there it is anyway. So Zephaniah speaks about the day of the Lord, just like Joel does. In fact, if you look in chapter 1, the day of the Lord, in chapter 1, look in verse 14 to 18. 14 to 18. That great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. The day is a day of wrath. Look at the description in verse 15. A day of trouble and distress. A day of devastation and desolation. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. Or bring distress upon men. Verse 17. And they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like refuse. Well, that's a pretty terrible scene. Now, that period of time, it's the same as in Joel, has not yet happened. The day of the Lord is the day of Jacob's trouble against Israel. It's also the time when God brings in the great tribulation. And you can see that description, of course, in verse 15. Day of wrath, trouble, distress, devastation, desolation, darkness, gloominess, clouds, thick darkness, and so on. And that's what the great tribulation will be. So he's very much like Joel in giving the word from the Lord about that awful time yet to come, future to us, of course. That's the end time judgment called the day of the Lord. It's the future. And it precedes the coming millennial reign of Christ and his return. We know that. So this is the day of the Lord when Zephaniah, like Joel, speaks about this. So the Lord is angry with all the nations that come against Israel. You can see that in verse 3 of chapter 2. Seek the Lord, O you meek of the earth. Who have upheld justice, seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. And that is a pun on the word hidden, because that is what Zephaniah's name means. Hidden in terrible times. Well, many of Israel will be, of course, hidden in that awful time. So it may be a bit of a reference to Zephaniah's name. Well, there's the problem also. We studied Obadiah some time ago. Obadiah spoke about the way in which some of these pagan nations attacked the Jewish people and around Jerusalem. But I won't go into that now. Now, let's go down to what I believe is very, very important. Would you go to verse 4 of chapter 2? And there you've got the names of Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, and Ekron, and the people that were Cherethites. Now, like some of the prophets, and Micah's one of them, it is a play on words. And these names of these cities of the Philistines going way back, today it's the Gaza Strip. So you might call, if you want a heading for today, it's the Gaza Strip in prophecy. The Gaza Strip in prophecy, because it contains the names of these Philistine cities in the past. Of course. So it was the land of the Philistines. At the moment, it's the land of the Palestinians. Regretfully, Israel handed back that Gaza Strip to the Palestinians, and they've suffered ever since. So the Roman Empire renamed Israel Palestine, as you know. And Palestine comes after the name Philistine. Yes, comes after the name Philistine. Philistia, the Philistine, Palestine. That's what. And if you look in verses 5 to 7 of chapter 2, you see there, he says, woe to the inhabitants of the sea coast. Now, if you look at the older maps, perhaps in the back of your Bible, you will see that the Gaza Strip borders on the sea coast of the Mediterranean Sea. You can check that out later on. That's what the Lord says, anyway. The Philistines were always, as you know from the Old Testament history, a very fierce and hostile people towards Israel in the Old Testament history. And it carried on for a very long time. And King David won many battles, of course. So now, in verse 4, there is a special play on words. The word there is an unusual one. A play on words is called paronomasia. Paronomasia. And very similar to the book of the prophet Micah. So we're going to turn to the prophet Micah. So would you just flip back, please, to the prophet Micah, just for a little while. To the prophet Micah. A few pages back, you'll find Micah. I'll find it myself. Micah, and we want chapter 1. Micah, chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 10, 12, 14, and one or two others. Micah chapter 1. Now, here we've got these same names again. In verse 10 of Micah chapter 1, tell it not in Gath, weep not at all in Beth Aphrah. Gath, weep not at all in Beth Aphrah. Now, in these names, you've got the word there, Beth Aphrah. Beth Aphrah means house of dust. And verse 11, you can see, or end of verse 10 rather, roll yourself in the dust. Dust town, roll yourself in the dust. Gath, Beth Aphrah. So there are play on words there, of course, as you know. Go down to verse 12. O inhabitants of Lachish, harness, so I'm reading one verse. First of all, the inhabitants of Maroth pined for good, but disaster came down from the Lord to the gates of Jerusalem. Maroth, in verse 12, means sickness. He's saying the inhabitants of Maroth are sick and they pine. And that will refer to these cities of the Philistines and the name cities as we have them there. It's a pun and play on words. That's in verse 12. Go to verse 14 of chapter 1 of Micah. Therefore, you shall give presents to Moresheth Gath. The houses of Achzlah shall be a lie in the kings of Israel. And the word there, in verse 14, means a lie. In other words, you are a lying city, and you will be succumbed by lies. So we see this play on words. We're going down a bit further as well, into verse 15 and 16. And you find a similar thing there. So, okay, back to Zephaniah. The play on words in Micah, and a play on words in Zephaniah. So let's have a look at this. Let's, in Zephaniah chapter 2, let's go down to verse 4 again. A play on words like Micah chapter 1, here is Zephaniah chapter 2. Verse 4, for Gaza shall be forsaken and Ashkelon desolate. Gaza shall be forsaken. And the Hebrew word there is atzah. And it means mighty or strong. Do you remember Goliath came from Gaza? He was pretty strong and big, wasn't he? And Atsa means mighty and strong. And you shall be, and I'm using the Hebrew here, Azuba, which means forsaken and desolate. In other words, there you've got in chapter 2, verse 4, Gaza shall be forsaken. The forsaken city, mighty and strong you may be, but you will be brought down, forsaken, and become desolate. Atsa shall be Atsuba. That's the Hebrew. The strong and mighty shall be overcome, forsaken and desolate. And Israel, we will discover, and Judah will once again, when the time comes, will once again occupy this whole area of former Philistia. The Gaza Strip will quite rightly become part of Judah again. This is what the prophet is really speaking about. Gaza shall be forsaken. Atzah shall be Azubah. You're mighty and strong, but you will be brought down forsaken and desolate. Play on words, prophecy. Now look at the next one. You've got in verse 4, the next line after Gaza, Ashkelon shall be desolate. Ashkelon, a desolation. There, Ashkelon comes from another Hebrew word, Shemama. And the word Shemama means devastation, a desolation, a desert, an astonishment, and a horror to people. That's what Ashkelon is going to become. The Philistine, the Palestinian occupation of these towns. This is a prophecy relating to them, and it will be a desolation in this Palestinian city. Now, the name means of Ashkelon itself is an unusual word. Ashkelon is derived from a plant, scallion or escalot. Escalot, Ashkelon, which grew abundantly in the area around there, very fertile. And the play on words suggested that the fertility of that land, and we know very well that when Israel had Gaza, they could grow so many greenhouses of crops and lettuces and so on. Fertility. But he said, this place, when God judges it, will come a place which is a barren wasteland and not fertile. The Lord says, I'm going to do that for these people because of their hatred of Israel. Aren't we up to date on that? Then you've got the next one. The same in verse 4. They shall drive out Ashdod at noonday. Drive out Ashdod at noonday. Ashdod means a stronghold or a fortress, which will be conquered even in broad daylight, even at the brightest time of noonday, the heat and brightness of the sun at that time. No surprise will be necessary to attack that city. It will be destroyed and brought to nothing at all. They will drive out Ashdod at noonday, even in the brightest time. They will be thrust down and destroyed. Wow. Think about that. Right, let's move on to the next one. Ekron shall be rooted up. At the end of verse 4, Ekron shall be uprooted. That again is a play on words, because in the Hebrew, Ekron means to be rooted up. No, Ekron will live up to that Hebrew meaning of the word. That which roots up the Jewish people will itself be rooted up and destroyed. Play on words. That which roots up the Jewish people and destroy them, think of Obadiah, they themselves will be rooted up and rooted out and destroyed. Wow. So the Philistines and now the Palestinians, one day, with themselves, will be rooted up out of the way. Gaza Strip will be once again occupied by the people of Israel. And Judah will have it as a place of shepherds and sheep. We'll see that bit later on. So the Gaza Strip, at the moment, and you can know this as well as I do, is a thorn in the side of Israel. With all the attacks and so on, you know all about that. That's what's happening. So in one sense of the word, the Palestinians or the Philistines are a real thorny problem in the side of Israel. Well, now let's look in verse 5. Go to verse 5. Woe to the inhabitants of the sea coast. Well, of course, that's, you look on your map, you'll find that Gaza borders on the sea coast of the Mediterranean. The nation of the Cherethites. That's in Cherethites. Who are they? Well, the Cherethites originally came from Crete, and they invaded the land of Israel a long time ago, and they were a very fierce and hostile people. Now, just for the moment, I'd like you to go back, please, earlier in the Old Testament to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Would you go back there? Let you find it. I've got to find it myself. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we want verse 14. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 14. And you've got a bit of history here. This is David. David speaking in verse 13. And verse 14, this is what he says. We made an invasion of the southern area of the Cherethites in the territory which belongs to Judah and of the southern area of Caleb. And we burned Ziklag with fire, so Philistine city. Notice that? That territory belongs to Judah. And it will again. At the moment, the Palestinians have got it, having been given it back by Israel. So David was involved in that, and that's his report there. So in other words, that area of land belongs to Judah, not to the Philistines. Now, would you go a little bit further back from Zephaniah to Ezekiel? Would you go back to Ezekiel? And we want chapter 25. Ezekiel chapter 25. See what the prophet Ezekiel has to say. And we need verses 15 to 17. 15 to 17. And this is a prophecy from the Lord through Ezekiel against Philistia. At roughly the same time, believe it or not, as Zephaniah. Verse 15, I'll read it. Thus says the Lord God, because the Philistines dealt wrong, vengefully, and took vengeance with a spiteful heart to destroy because of the old hatred, therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will stretch out my hand against the Philistines, and I will cut off the Cherethites, warlike people from Crete, and destroy the remnant of the sea coast. I will execute great vengeance on them with furious rebukes, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon them. Well, of course, like Ezekiel, that's a future prophecy. But of course, the Philistines, the land of the Palestinians. Wow. Something is there. So there, in these verses, in that chapter, we have certain judgments from the Lord through Ezekiel against the Ammonites, against Moab, against Edom, and so on, all the way through, and against the Philistines or the Palestinians. That's where they descend from also. And they've always been sworn enemies of Israel. We know that. That's history, many centuries. So in other words, back to Zephaniah 2 again, please. Back to Zephaniah 2. And that fifth verse again. You can see what the Lord says to the seacoast, the nation of the Cherethites. This is what he says. He says, I am going to destroy the Cherethites, all the Philistines, all the Palestinians, and the occupation of that land. Well, I'll tell you something. Isn't the Bible up to date? It's speaking of the future too. Oh, yes. In other words, prophecy is tomorrow's news. We can safely say that. Prophecy, future, what is left to happen is future. Future history, you might say that. So that's where we are. It's the word of the Lord. It's history not yet fulfilled, but it will be. In other words, whoever works against the nation of Israel and Judah, the Lord will judge them. What did the Lord promise to Abraham? Way back in Genesis 12, Abraham, as he was called then. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him, singular, who curses you, Abraham, and your family, and your nation. And he will. God has kept his word in history. He will do it in the future as well. So let's move on a bit further and come to a close. Look in verses 6 and 7 of Zephaniah 2 back there, 6 and 7. The seacoast shall be pastures, shelters for shepherds, folds for flocks. The coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. They shall feed their flocks there. In the houses of Ashkelon they shall lie down in the evening. For the Lord their God will intervene for them and return their captives. They'll go back into that land again, which is rightly theirs. The shepherds of the people of Judah, or the Jewish people, they will settle down in that part of the land of Israel, as it's called. They will become one nation. And Obadiah 17 says, they will possess their right possessions. They will possess their right possession, and they will. That's certainly true. It's not true at the moment. Israel is only a small part of what is promised to be. And then you can see it says in the verses that we read that Judah will feed their flocks, in verse 7, in the houses of Ashkelon. That is definitely part of Israel. It will be a peace. Shepherds, pastoral scene with their flocks will be there. No war, no guards, no war, no more. And it says, the Lord will visit them and return them to their land. Isn't that amazing? Now, of course, today, as it has been for a while, the Gaza Strip is a dangerous spot for Israel. But the Lord is going to visit that area again. I'm not turning you to Ezekiel 34 because it's coming to a close now. In Ezekiel 34, there are 15 references to either flock or sheep of Israel, of which the Lord is their shepherd. Ezekiel 34. He's their shepherd, and of course, he's your shepherd and mine. And you see in Ezekiel 34, you read it for yourself, you'll find many times there's a sheep, they are the flock of the Lord's pasture. That applies to the sheep, animals, and the people of Israel too. They're his pasture, he's their shepherd too. So just to finish off with, in verse 7, the Lord their God will intervene for them and return their captives. They're going back to live there once again. This will be, of course, in the millennium, when the Lord is back reigning and ruling, following the judgment of the nations at his coming. So it will be those living in the time of the return of the Lord. He says, I will intervene for them and return their captives to that area. Wonderful reference. They will rest, be at peace in the millennium. Israel will occupy all the land God promised Abraham, and that includes the area of the Palestinians, the Philistines, all those cities where they play on their names will all come to ruin, and the people of Judah, Israel, will occupy the land, and it will be fruitful, not a barren land, and they will have their pastures, and in the millennium, it will be peace at last. The Lord says, I'll give them a visitation. The Hebrew word is pachad. I'll give them a visitation of blessing, a miraculous intervention of blessing. He did that for Abraham and Sarah when he promised a son, Isaac. And he made promises to Israel. This is prophetic future history. Remarkable. These cities, in the hands of the Palestinians, will one day totally belong to those who put their pastures and sheep from Judah in the land.